with the latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Happy New Year and welcome to Tech Guide episode 27. Great to be with you again. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick. I'm the editor of techguide.com.au and we're going to kick off the year by taking a look back at last year, the products, the standout products of 2012, and we'll reveal Tech Guide's product picks for the year. Also, we'll take a look forward at the upcoming International Consumer Electronics Show and talk about some of the new products we can expect to see there. In the latest Apple rumors department, there could be a new product on the horizon. And our reviews this week will include the Signet Purephonic Bluetooth headphones and the very latest Ultra Slim iMac. And as usual, we'll wrap it all up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And as usual, it's also brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products to help you get the most out of your home network. Lots to get through right here on Tech Guide. Well, I thought we'd kick the new year off by casting our eyes back at the year that we've just completed, 2012. It's been a big year on the technology front, and of course a lot of products have come across the desk here in the Tech Guide offices. We've reviewed literally hundreds of products this year in all the categories, and we thought we'd take this opportunity to reflect back on those products and choose the best products in several categories. We're not going to go through all of them. I've written a story, the full story, on Tech Guide. I'm just going to pick the best, the standout categories for this segment and the next segment in the show. We'll kick it off, though, with smartphones. That's probably the most popular, one of the most popular categories that we've come across. And our Tech Guide pick of the 2012 is the Samsung Galaxy S3. It was a huge year for Samsung on the smartphone front. The Galaxy S3 really took their smartphone offerings to the next level. Nice 4.8-inch screen, super AMOLED display, brilliantly sharp, nice camera, handy new features including smart state, so it actually knows when your eyes are on the screen. It won't dim down. 4G compatibility later on, great camera, and a battery that just lasts longer than a day, sometimes a day and a half. Now, obviously, the very, very close runner-up was the iPhone 5. Now, the iPhone 5 did suffer a couple of little faults in our mind. Like, since our review, we've heard a lot of news about the battery life. We've also heard, everyone, of course, has heard about the maps and how it has been a bit of a letdown for Apple. In fact, so much so that Tim Cook, the Apple CEO, has come out and apologized for it. So it was the very close call to that the Galaxy S3 did nudge out the iPhone 5. In Tech Guide's opinion, you may have a different opinion. So they were nearly on par. The Galaxy S3 just slightly took the money. Moving on to our other category, the next biggest category for 2012 would be tablets, without a doubt. Tablets were huge in 2012 and will continue to be huge in 2013. The best of our product pick in the tablet department, the tablet category, we chose the iPad Mini. It was the device that obviously grabbed our attention. It was the type of product that by Apple, of course, who produced a device that was might have been smaller than your regular iPad, but every bit an iPad. It had all the features, had the processing power. Of course, all the apps ran very well on the iPad Mini as well, just like they would on the full-size iPad. No Retina display on the iPad Mini, but I think that's one of the reasons why it was such an affordable price, starting at just $369. I think what appealed to people too was its size, easy to hold in one hand, and and this, I think, would appeal to a lot of women. Also appeal to a lot of those users who found the 10-inch tablet size maybe a little bit too big. So their barrier to entry in the market was the size of the device. The iPad mini really eliminated that problem. Really easily, easy to hold, form factor, very light, very portable. I know a lot of people who have opted, who were on in the market for a tablet, were thinking of buying the larger sized iPad, but decided on the iPad mini. They just found it was value for money and a good product all around that did everything that the bigger iPad did just about. So iPad mini takes the best of in the tablet category. Close runner-up was the Google Nexus 7. The Nexus 7 was a standout in terms of the Android tablets, and there are a lot of them out there. But what we liked about the Nexus 7 was the screen resolution, which is actually a higher screen resolution than the iPad mini. Had a slightly smaller screen, so 7-inch screen, slightly different shape, but it delivered in terms of value, features, and quality. It ticked all those boxes for us, so it was a very close second in the tablet category. Moving on, televisions was another big area on Tech Guide, and we reviewed a few smart TVs here in our offices, and we have awarded the best of 2012 in the television category to Samsung's 55-inch Series 8 ES8000. Now, this is the TV that has taken a slightly different trail on the design front. It's got a U-shaped stand, ultra-thin frame, ultra-thin bezel. It's also obviously a smart TV, not only with the connectivity and the picture quality, which is essential, one of the key features that consumers are looking for, but it also had things like smart interaction, so you can actually use gesture controls, voice controls. So it was the kind of TV that really took us to that next level and introduced that smart interactivity with our smart TVs. A close second was the other Korean TV manufacturer, that's LG, the 55-inch LM7600, which is the what I found was it was a real leap ahead in terms of design and in terms of quality. The LG TV had a barely there millimeter thick frame. It's like the TV didn't have a frame on it at all. It also had kind of a U-shaped stand that sort of gave the impression that the TV was actually floating on air. But what really impressed us with the LG, the LM7600 was the picture quality. The picture quality, I think, was a huge step up from the last year's model. Refresh rates of 200 hertz, local dimming, so it's LED quality. A real step up, I think, LG. That was a real nice move forward in the TV category, and something I think you're going to see a lot more of LG in their improvement in their smart TV range in 2013 as well. Last one for this segment anyway is the computer category. Now, computers are a very popular product, and our best of 2012, our product pick in the computer category was the MacBook Pro 15-inch with Retina display. This was one of the best products we reviewed in 2012 here at Tech Guide. Not only did Apple totally revamp the device itself, thinner, lighter, and faster, but it added this amazing Retina display, which was so sharp. I've written in my story on Tech Guide that we said the Retina display was so sharp it should have come with Band-Aids. The screen quality is really something you need to see to believe. It is actually the laptop of choice. It is the device that I personally use now. I bought it as soon as it came out. It is my go-to laptop. I write all my Tech Guide stories on this device. I edit all my videos and do all of my production work for Tech Guide on this laptop. A close second was from Samsung, their 15-inch Series 9 Ultrabook, which was it really ticked the boxes again in the sort of the design, features, and speed categories. Had a really great 15-inch screen, really thin and light. One of the better Windows devices we found on the market. Nice big trackpad, so it had gesture controls, things like that. You know, it's valued at $1,899, so it's not bad value either, especially considering the quality of Windows PC that you are getting. But that was our product picks in those categories. We're going to come back and talk about some other categories and reveal our product picks in those in just a moment.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Righto, part two of our product picks for 2012, and let's kick it off with audio. Big fans of audio here at Tech Guide, and we found our favorite audio product of this year is from a company called Sonos. Now, we know Sonos as the providers, the creators of wireless speakers, music speakers. The ability to position them around your home, control them with an app, is second to none. A great service, a great way to set up multi-room audio, great audio quality, I should say. And what we found, though, the release of the Sonos Wireless Sub, which is our product pick, audio product pick for 2012, it added so much texture and such a whole other dimension to the listening experience. Now, the Sonos speakers are good quality to begin with. Don't get us wrong. But what the subwoofer did, it actually improved on that quality even further, gave it so much more depth and made the music so much richer and far more enjoyable. So if you do currently own a Sonos music system, you're going to love them even more if you add a Sonos wireless sub. That was our product pick in the audio category for 2012. Runner-up was the Bose Wave Music System 3. I'm a big fan of what Bose do. They're a company that really excels in audio technology. The Bose Wave Music System 3 was no exception. Now, this was a product aimed at specifically audio lovers who've still got large CD libraries, who really take pride in their collection and can play them in one compact unit. It didn't need external speakers. It only had quite a small footprint, yet provided room-filling, superb audio quality. It was a close second in our audio picks for 2012. Moving along, our next category, we're going to look at digital cameras. Now, this is another growing area in consumer technology, and especially in the digital SLR category. And it's no surprise to hear then that our product pick in the digital camera category for 2012 is the Canon EOS 650D digital SLR. Now, this is an affordable digital SLR camera, so appealing to users who might be moving to an SLR for the first time, yet easy enough to use so they're not intimidated. Whether it's in the hands of an amateur or professional, you're going to produce some pretty high quality images, as well as some great high definition, full high definition video as well, which has sort of appealed to us, really got it over the line as the product of the year in the digital camera category because of its value, its ease of use, and the overall quality you can produce. Now, close second was another Canon product, and that's the 5D Mark III, which is the big daddy of the digital SLRs. It was reviewed by our guest reviewer, Chris Oaten, former colleague, News Limited colleague of mine, who's now a professional photographer, and he put this camera through its paces and gave it the big tick and virtually said this is the, if you're an enthusiast, a professional, this is the go-to camera for you. So that's the digital cameras. Moving along again, we're going to talk about apps. It has been a year of apps in 2012, 2013. There'll be no exception. But this year, it seemed to be a breakout year where apps were produced on a regular basis for tablets, for smartphones. And in this case, our app of the year, we've awarded to the Foxtel Go app. This was the app produced by Foxtel after the Olympics. Now, you cast your mind back to the Olympic Games, and Foxtel produced an Olympics app, which I think was a kind of a dress rehearsal for the Foxtel Go app. It provided live coverage of certain channels, catch-up TV, certain packages that you could access. I can remember waking up first thing in the morning, not wanting to know who won the medals, but being able to access a package through the Foxtel Olympics app to view those medals and see all those events. Well, Foxtel have produced the Foxtel Go app just for iPad at this stage. It is coming for Android users. And what it allows Foxtel customers to do is to enjoy their pay TV service on the go, whether it's within their wireless network, out in the world, the 3G, 4G. You can access live channels. You can also look at on-demand content and catch-up content. So it just adds a lot more value to your Foxtel service. A close runner-up is Google Maps for iPhone. Now, on the back of the disastrous launch of Apple Maps, And I've got to say, Apple Maps are slowly improving. I have to mention that. But when Google Maps was released again for iPhone, it was originally taken off when iOS 6 was launched to provide space for Apple's own mapping application. Much to the complaints of many people who weren't happy with Apple's offering, who were wanting the Google Maps application back. Well, their complaints and prayers were answered when Google offered the Maps app back on the iPhone in mid-December, and I think within a few days it had something like 5 to 10 million downloads. So just goes to show how much we missed the Google mapping app. Moving right along, we're on to accessories. Now, accessory is classed as a product that is used with a smartphone, with a tablet, and uses and maybe an accompanying app to run. So in many cases, it's an app accessory, if you like. Our pick for accessory of the year is the IDTV, which is virtually a small set-top box that connects into the 30-pin dock connector of the older iPad and the iPhone 4S. But it does work with an adapter. So if you do have an iPad 4th gen, iPad mini, or an iPhone 5, it does work with those products with the adapter. So you can watch live digital television anywhere. So it comes with its own, it comes with a wall attachment if you want to connect it to the wall aerial, the wall socket to the aerial, or it comes with its own little mini aerial if you're out and about. Maybe you might have been waiting for hours and hours for the New Year's Eve fireworks to start. You could have had this product with you, turning your iPad into a television. So that was, for us, the standout accessory of the year. Close second was the Logitech Ultra Thin keyboard cover. Now, this was the keyboard, quite thin, that's not only has a groove for the iPad to magnetically attach itself there, so you can use your iPad with a full keyboard, Bluetooth connection, so it turns it into a bit of a laptop. But when you're not using it as a keyboard, it attaches itself to the iPad, a little bit like the smart cover. So not only is it useful as a keyboard, it also can protect the iPad as a smart case as well. So that was our one and two in the product picked, our product picks in that accessory category. Our last one before we move on is in the gadget category, we'll call this. And this is a class of product which doesn't really fit into any other box like computer or television or digital camera, but are sort of these gadgety type products that we sort of decided to create a gadget category to fit them into. And the winner of the Tech Guide Best of 2012 product pick is the LiveScribe Sky Wi-Fi Smart Pen. Now, we've always been a big fan of the LiveScribe Smart Pen. It records as you're writing. So whatever you're hearing while you're writing, it does link your written notes to that audio. So if you're conducting a long interview, for example, you can tap on any part of your notes afterwards and it will take you directly to that part of the interview that you were hearing while you were writing those particular notes. Very, very handy. We use it all the time. I use it all the time when I'm covering different events and launches and press conferences. It is a very handy way to take your notes and then refer to them later. But what LiveScribe's done is they've taken it even further with the Sky Wi-Fi Smart Pen. And as its name suggests, it's added Wi-Fi to the mix. So not only can you take your notes, store them on the pen, store them in on your computer, but now you can wirelessly send them up to Evernote. So they're accessible on all of your other devices through your browser, through specific apps, the Evernote app on your tablet or your smartphone. So it just adds a lot more usability and functionality to an already good product. Runner-up in the gadget category is a recently reviewed product of ours that we spoke about, that we wrote about on Tech Guide, called the Wemo from Belkin. This is a home automation switch that can, if you can, you plug this Wemo automation switch into the wall, the product you plug into that switch then can be controlled with your smartphone app. You can turn it on or off from anywhere you've got an internet connection. So whether it's in the next room or in another country, you can control that product, see if it's on or off, and if it is on, you can turn it off. If it is off, you can turn it on. Great examples covered on the Tech Guide review. So if you do want to read all of those product picks, not only have I chosen the winner of each category and a runner-up, I've also chosen several honorable mentions in each of these categories. So feel free to check all of those out at techguide.com.au.
Now, a Tech Guide news update.
Righto. Well, it's only a few days before we head off to CES. Yes, I'm off to Las Vegas once again to the International Consumer Electronics Show. And this is the trade show, one of the biggest in the world, where all the major companies arrive in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Convention Center, where we revealed the very latest products that we're going to see in 2013 and beyond. The big companies use this event to showcase their new products, to actually launch the new products to the world. Some of the biggest technologies ever introduced were seen for the very first time at the CES convention. Some of those include the VCR back in 1970, the camcorder back in 1981, and compact disc in the same year. DVD was seen for the first time in 1996, high definition TVs in 1998. The Xbox made its first appearance at the 2001 Consumer Electronics Show. Blu-ray disc was also seen for the first time in 2004. 3D TV was everywhere in 2009. And of course, smart TVs was something we saw for the very first time a couple of years ago in 2011. So what will 2013 bring? Well, there's already some talk from LG and Samsung. It, of course, is going to be heavily focused around TVs, but not only TV quality. Back years ago, it was all a matter of the quality and how much quality has improved. But what we've seen now is not only has the TV quality kind of gone as far as it can go, but now we've seen that the smart TV, it's become a connected device. And LG and Samsung already, before CES, positioning themselves, previewing what we're going to see. LG have already announced they're going to be debuting some new smart TVs with the Google TV on board. And that means you'll be able to access things like YouTube, Google content, Google apps, even on your LG TV. There'll also be a fully fledged gaming system that accesses games, high quality games from the cloud on these new LG smart TVs. Samsung, their great rival and currently the world's number one TV manufacturer, will also be on hand and have actually released a teaser video, which was actually shot in the streets on the streets of Sydney, showing or teasing what the new shape of TVs are going to look like. And Samsung, they do often use CES as their launchpad for their new products. 2013 will be no exception. Their smart TVs were introduced for the very first time a couple of years ago at CES, as we mentioned. This year is going to be no different. We're going to see their new smart TV offerings at CES. A lot to look forward to. I'll be broadcasting the Tech Guide podcast from CES. So there'll be some many, many exciting products. That's just the not even the tip of the iceberg of what we can expect to see. But keep an eye on techguide.com.au for all the latest news and reviews and product videos and descriptions from the show floor.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, Apple is always the subject of many rumors, and the very latest Apple rumor is the Bluetooth smartwatch. So pretty heavy rumors coming out of China. A Chinese gadget site, Tech163, has some pretty strong evidence claiming that Apple is working on a 1.5-inch display smartwatch. It's apparently working in partnership with Intel on the product, and it will be able to connect wirelessly to your iPhone or your iPad and preview things like maybe see who's calling, or you can maybe read a message or an email that's been wirelessly linked to the iPhone or the iPad. So a handy way, rather than having to pull out your iPhone or the iPad from your pocket or your bag, you can just simply turn your hand and look at your wrist and see the call or message or email that happens to be coming through. Now, Apple, the smart watches, even if Apple do decide to go ahead and produce this product, it's not the first product of its kind that we've seen. Sony actually have a smart watch on the market. There is another product called the Pebble, which will also be seen in 2013. And CES will also showcase a number of smart watches, and in particular one from an Italian-designed device called the IM Watch. And that's I apostrophe M, as if it's I'm here. IM Watch. smartwatch, which runs the a version of the Android operating system, and it too can connect wirelessly to your smartphones and tablets, and also has cut down apps of its own. So it'll have a Facebook app, it'll have an email app, contacts. So it's not just a simple link to a device. It's kind of a device in itself that offers that kind of functionality and connectivity, so that you can have maybe a cut down version of Facebook on your watch or your email and actually scroll through them rather than just receiving notifications about new emails and new messages and things like that. I'll be previewing and reviewing, hopefully, a lot of these smartwatches when I'm at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. So keep an eye out right here on techguide.com.au. Well, Tech Guide is brought to you from our good friends at Netgear. Now, did you or someone in your household get a new tablet or a smartphone for Christmas? Well, with the amount of mobile devices now connecting to the home network, a solid Wi-Fi connection is more important than ever. So if you're experiencing any annoying Wi-Fi dead spots around your home when using your mobile or wireless devices, Netgear has a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless signal and improve your overall online experience. Universal compatibility means you can keep all of your current wireless equipment, and it is CD-less installation, which makes setup easy on for any mobile devices. Netgear has a Wi-Fi extender to suit any size household as well, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect for streaming things like HD video content and maximizing your online home theater experience. So if you want to stay connected and boost your Wi-Fi coverage to improve your online experience in every corner of your home, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost-my-Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Our first review for this week's show is by an Australian company called Signet. They've produced a lot of accessories, things like iPad cases, iPad mini cases, smartphone cases, all kinds of audio products as well. But they're one of their very latest products is the Signet Purephonic Bluetooth headphones. Now, these are a pair of headphones that don't have any cables. You can use them Bluetooth connection only. So if you've got a smartphone or a media player, like the latest iPod Nano, for example, which also has Bluetooth now, they're simply paired to the device like you would a normal Bluetooth headset, and you can enjoy your music wirelessly. You may even enjoy listening to this podcast using your iPod Nano or one of your devices. With the Signet Purephonic Bluetooth headphones, you can hear this podcast wirelessly through these headphones. Now, I have to say the design of these and the overall comfort and fit were very impressive. Foam leather-covered ear cups, a nice a soft headband, so even for extended listening, it is quite comfortable. Fold-up design, so they come with a case so you can easily store them and take them with you anywhere you go, whether it's on a trip or just on your travels, public transport. And they do connect wirelessly, as we mentioned, with the Bluetooth. If you do want to connect with a cable, it is possible. If the battery runs out, you can still use them with the included cable as a normal set of headphones. But we were very, very impressed. Now, these are only priced at $139.95. Now, for the value that they're offering for that price, these are punching way above their weight. The audio quality is very impressive, really crisp detail, very impressive bass, I have to say. Bass levels were better than some headphones that cost twice as much as the Signet headphones. Included case, as we mentioned, but that whole the whole ability to connect wirelessly, throw in the audio quality, and throw in the value, that's a great price. It is one of the few products that we've given here on Tech Guide a 5 out of 5 star rating. For that is very rare, but deservedly so. The value, features, and quality really met and exceeded our expectations for this product. If you want to see that full review, you can do so at techguide.com.au. Okay, moving right along. Our next review is the latest iMac from Apple. Now, you cast your mind back to the iPad mini launch back in San Jose back in October. Tech Guide was there. Not only was the iPad mini introduced, but we also saw the very first appearance of the latest iMac. Now, the iMac has evolved remarkably since the previous model. The first thing that'll catch your attention is just how thin the iMac is. The edge of this computer is only 5 millimeters thick. The edge of this computer is thinner than the iPhone. So that is just a stunning design. It does taper out towards the back where it meets the desktop stand to still manage to fit in the computer, and all the guts of the computer are still there. It's got an improved screen. The screen is now flush on the glass. It does use technology now to bring it to right to the front, so there's no 2 millimeter gap anymore. And what it's also reduced to, we noticed we stood this side by side. I've got a 27-inch iMac, the previous model, which is a lot thicker than this new model. One thing we noticed, though, with the new screen, lot less reflection. The fact that the screen is right up on the glass instead of having a 2 millimeter gap, well, that helped reduce that reflection level by up to 75%. I couldn't measure the exact amount of reflection it saved, but it was a noticeable difference in the amount of reflection. But just getting back to the design, the thinness of this computer really has to be seen to be believed. Now, to achieve this, Apple introduced a new manufacturing technique for computers anyway, called friction stir welding. And what this does to create these seamless and very thin joins on the computer, they needed to use this friction stir welding, which actually goes down to the molecular level to achieve this seamless join to join these two pieces of metal together. So you cannot see the join. It's seamless and yet keeps that very thin and sleek design. This friction stir welding is actually used by NASA and Boeing on booster rockets and aircraft wings. So you do need, these are the type of things that need high performance but also pretty sleek and light design. And you know, you're not going to be flying your iMac anywhere, but the fact that Apple have really pushed the envelope here is quite impressive. On the processor side, of course, available up to the i7 processors, and what it does introduce too is the new Fusion Drive. And what that does, it combines the speed of SSD, solid state drive flash memory, which is super fast, accessing data and information is really quick, but it also combines it with the capacity of having a regular hard disk drive. The Fusion Drive is available, I think, in 1 terabyte or 3 terabyte configurations, and the beauty of the Fusion Drive is that the computer by itself can arrange to store the applications you use most on the SSD half of the Fusion Drive. So if you are a photographer, for example, you use Photoshop a lot or Aperture, it puts these application in the SSD portion of the drive, so it will launch even faster. Of course, the operating system, Mountain Lion, is also on the SSD half of the Fusion Drive, and is super fast. Very excellent performance. If you're into editing, whatever you need to do, it is a powerhouse. Now, on the downside, I took issue with the fact that Apple removed the DVD drive on their new iMac. Now, personally, I use my iMac as my DVD player. I often watch DVDs on my computer. Now, granted, you are able to watch DVDs if you connect to SuperDrive, which is available at added cost to users. So if you do want to burn a DVD or watch a DVD, you can still attach it to one of the USB 3 ports at the back of the unit. But I thought, well, Apple really here in, I felt, sort of maybe put design ahead of functionality. I think people would still like a DVD drive. We've noticed, though, they've not included it on the 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina and the 15-inch with Retina display. But for obvious reasons, that was to keep it thin and light. It's something you carry with you every day. The iMac is not the sort of product that you do carry with you everywhere. I don't anyway. I don't think many people are. Apple decided to get rid of the DVD. And as I said, you can, if you do want a DVD bad enough, a drive, you can get the Super Ultra Drive. One other little annoying, it's annoying, it's not really a deal breaker, but annoying the fact that the SD card slot is no longer on the side of the computer either. It is now located at the back of the iMac where the other ports are located. So I had to actually get out of my chair to be able to find the SD card slot to put in my memory card to download my pictures. But a small criticism there, still though, one of the best desktop computers you'll find. Apple really pushed the envelope here in terms of design and functionality and features. And, you know, it is, if you're after a desktop computer, this is probably the one to get. You can read the full review at techguide.com.au.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, one question we get asked quite a bit is from our old readers, say, asking us, they're telling us they've got a huge library of VHS tapes that they want to convert to DVD. And how do they do it? Well, there is a very simple and easy way to do it, and it's using a program by Roxio called Easy VHS to DVD. And as its name suggests, it comes with a USB dongle that attaches to your computer. There is a Mac and PC version. And it also comes then with the red, white, and yellow cables that you would then connect to the back of your VCR. Now, you do have to have a functioning VCR for this to work. So what it needs for you to do, it's quite simple. You connect the VCR using the Easy VHS to DVD dongle. You install the software on your computer, and the dongle is the connection that comes from the VCR to your computer. So you simply insert your VHS tape, press play, and then on your VHS to DVD application on your computer, you simply press record, and it digitizes that VHS tape onto your hard drive, and then it allows you to burn it onto a disc or do whatever you want to do with it. Really easy, really simple. I'm using it myself. I've got a whole shoebox full of videos from when my kids were born and growing up that I am converting bit by bit. Very simple and easy to use, really good quality results, and it is, as I mentioned, anyone could use this product. It all comes in one package, the USB dongle that connects out the back to the cables to the VCR. Easy setup, easy operation. If you've got a library full of VHS tapes that are deteriorating as time goes by, they are getting, the quality of those VHSs sitting on your shelf is getting worse by the month, so great way to convert from VHS, from analog to digital, a great way to do it. You can also use it to convert tapes, music tapes, to CD as well. So a great way to convert any tape-type media to digital. There's a full review at techguide.com.au. And that's the end of our first show for 2013. We hope you enjoyed it. If you need any more information about anything we spoke about today, including our best of 2012 selections, you can find it at our website, techguide.com.au. And we also, we'd love to hear from you too. So you can get in touch with us here at info@techguide.com.au. You can also send us your help desk questions either through the email or on our Tech Guide forum. And our show was brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of Wi-Fi products that can get the most out of your home network. So if you've just bought yourself or received a smartphone or tablet over Christmas, then maybe a Netgear product can help you get even more out of it on your home network. We'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, stay safe and stay connected. What?